This is the Black and Blue Report presented by ABC Insurance Agencies, a better choice for insurance. Now from Studio B, or wherever the Saints or Pelicans might be, here's Daniel Sellerson.
What's up? Welcome into the Tuesday edition of the Black and Blue Report. I'm Daniel Sellerson here from Studio B on the campus of the Saints and the Pelicans off Airline Drive. Hope this Tuesday finds you well. We have a lot to talk about on this Tuesday. Unfortunately, we're talking about a Pelicans loss last night. It was a rough one inside Vivint Smart Home Arena at Salt Lake City, Utah, as the Pelicans fell to the Jazz 88-83. Not a lot of scoring, and both teams coming off a back-to-back. Not the only excuse, but it wasn't pretty if you were watching or listening. The Pelicans shot just 35% from the field, 30 of 84, 10 of 33 from beyond the arc, and 20 turnovers. Again, turnovers a major factor since the All-Star break. 21 points off those turnovers for the Jazz. Jazz weren't any better in that category. 19 turnovers, 22 points off those turnovers for the Pelicans. 40% Jazz shot last night, 33 of 81. They had five players in double figures, or four players, I should say. The Pelicans had four as well, led by Anthony Davis, who had 20 points and 12 rebounds. Off the bench, Jordan Crawford making his Pelicans debut just hours after arriving in Utah. He was coming from Atlanta, where he was playing a D-League game for Grand Rapids. 19 points, 8 of 15 shooting, 3 of 7 from beyond the arc. So it was nice to see Jordan Crawford step up last night for the Pelicans. Etuan Moore with 10 off the bench. DeMarcus Cousins with 15 and 8 on 5 of 15 shooting. Just really couldn't get anything going. 14 points in the first, 34 points overall in the first half, which was a season low for the Pelicans. But then he turned it up in the fourth. He almost had the same amount of points in the fourth as he did in quarters one and two, as the Pelicans outscored the Jazz 31-27. Of course, we'll hear from Jim Eichenhofer from Pelicans.com, as we always do on a Tuesday. He'll join us via the telephone after the Pelicans arrived late last night from Salt Lake City. And then they'll bounce back hopefully tomorrow night against a really good Toronto Raptors team. But they're missing one of their stars. Kyle Lowry is out. So a chance for the Pelicans to get back on track at home before heading out to Charlotte on Friday to take on the Hornets on Saturday. Also, the NFL Combine is basically done, or over with, I should say. And we'll wrap up the Combine with Joel Erickson from The Advocate, who covers the Saints for the newspaper. He'll talk about who he liked in the Combine, who he didn't like, and what's next for the Saints and the rest of the NFL. Also, March Madness. Y'all getting into March Madness. These conference tournaments are underway. Some of these mid-major tournaments coming down to the wire. It's so fun to watch. And then today, starting some of the major conference tournaments, all-day marathons of four games. And it's a lot of fun. I look forward to seeing that. So hopefully you all can enjoy some college basketball this week, as well as NBA and NFL talk. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk Pelicans with Jim Eichenhofer, followed by Joel Erickson from The Advocate. You're listening to the Black and Blue Report.
Are you ready for a new challenge? Set your goal and go for it with the Smoothie King Change a Meal Challenge. Just change one meal a day with over 20 delicious meal replacement smoothies, all under 400 calories per 20-ounce cup, and sip your way to your goal weight. With flavors like pineapple mango, strawberry blueberry, dark chocolate banana, and more, it's easier than ever to reach for your goal. Take the Change a Meal Challenge, only at Smoothie King. Smoothies with a purpose. Take the challenge as part of a low-calorie diet and daily exercise program. Weight loss depends on individual needs.
You're at a dinner party. You're seated next to a loudmouth. Plus, there's no bread. Why is there no bread? Myrtle, the family chow chow, seems very interested in you. But you're allergic to Myrtle, and you left your inhaler at home. But it doesn't have to be this way. Win the night with the New Orleans Pelicans, facing off against the Houston Rockets Friday, March 17th. Bring your whole clan and celebrate St. Patrick's Day with the Pels. Visit Pelicans.com for tickets and win the night.
We're talking Pelicans basketball on the Black and Blue Report.
Welcome back to the show. Fresh off his trip to L.A. and Salt Lake City, we welcome in Jim Eichenhofer from Pelicans.com, as we normally do on a Tuesday. Jim, hope this Tuesday finds you well. Hope you were able to get a little bit of rest this morning.
Yeah, I did. I think we got in around 3 a.m. or so. I think I probably got to bed around 4 or 4:30. But, you know, when I saw on my schedule that I had a Black and Blue Report interview this morning. I immediately got out of bed and was ready to go.
I expect nothing less from you, Jim, and I appreciate that. It's kind of a weird road trip, you think, for a two-game road trip to go all the way to L.A. and Utah. Usually these quick two-game trips are usually to maybe cities like Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, but the Pelicans had to travel pretty far for just two games, don't you think?
Yeah, it's one kind of odd aspect of the schedule this season. There's a few. It seems like there's a few of these trips where you go all the way to the West Coast and only play two games. From my experience, this is my fourth season of traveling to every game during the regular season. I don't remember that ever happening before where there was any trip. In fact, I don't remember a trip in the past where Utah was part of it and it wasn't at least three or four games. So, yeah, it's been odd. There was also a Thanksgiving trip that went all the way to Portland and then hit Dallas and then came home. So there's a million. To me, overall, there's been so many improvements to the schedule, and they've done a really good job overall, the NBA. But that part of it is a little strange, I have to say.
Well, I know you're probably pretty tired, but it seemed like also that both teams last night were asleep at the wheel in Utah as the Pelicans fell to the Jazz 88-83. And, Jim, I'm going to try to let you see if you can describe what happened last night, but it was pretty tough to watch at times.
Yeah, it was not one of those games where they're going to take clips from it and put it in the NBA's This Is Why We Play commercials. It was definitely not something that you want to remember or keep around. both teams shot poorly. Both teams were very sloppy. 39 total turnovers between the two teams. Both teams were lethargic. And you could say back-to-back, and I understand people want to use that, lean on that as a partly of an excuse. But my point was, and I said this a little bit on Twitter last night, was you can't use that as an excuse. You're going, even when they reduce the back-to-backs next season, I'm sure every team's probably going to still play 12 or 13 back-to-backs. So you can't look at one-seventh of your schedule and say, like, okay, well, in these games where it's okay if we don't bring energy and we don't play hard, et cetera, et cetera. So, and the other part of it is you just had the All-Star break, like, what, 10 days ago, something like that, and you had every team in the NBA had 8 days off. So I can't sit here and say, like, okay, well, you know, it's understandable that they didn't play with a lot of energy and that they were lethargic because it was a back-to-back. I just don't – I'm not into that excuse right now. But other than that, I can't explain why the game unfolded the way it did. It just seemed like one of those nights where neither team had a easy time getting into any kind of rhythm. And I think Utah had more stretches of good basketball in the second half, and that was why they won. But overall, it was an ugly game, absolutely no doubt about that.
Jim, I want to go back to Sunday a little bit because I felt like it was nice to see the Pelicans win a game with DeMarcus Cousins on the floor, but I felt like we sort of put a Band-Aid on some of the issues that we have and not necessarily, you know, cleaned up the damage entirely. Sure. And I feel like that trickled into Monday a little bit where some of the problems we were having, the turnovers, the poor shooting, I think kind of just trickled down. Like you said, wasn't really as far as being tired is concerned. So do you see that maybe we saw the win and thought, okay, we're getting back on track here, but then some of the same things that were issues on Sunday turned into bigger issues on Monday.
Yeah, I think that's actually a great way to put it. It seemed like Monday, in a lot of ways, was a continuation of what happened during a lot of the game Sunday. I think for me, the thing that I was disappointed about last night against Utah was just that you got a win against the Lakers. They're not a good opponent whatsoever. So in the game against Utah, you say, okay, we have a chance to build on getting a win, try to get another win and against a team that is much, much better. And if you can win in Utah, that's a feather in your cap and an impressive performance. But instead, it seemed like it was poor shooting again. The turnovers were way worse against Utah. I don't think the turnovers were that bad against the Lakers, although there were times when that it was a problem. But overall, the thing that I look at is just the areas that you can control, and shooting is not one of them to me. It wasn't like they didn't get good looks last night. They got into the paint a lot and didn't make them. And sometimes that's part of basketball. The way the Pelicans have been shooting the ball the last few games where they've just been in a huge slump, I don't know how you can really control that. I think that's something that happens in basketball. They might come back the next three or four games and have like one of their best stretches of the season, but shooting is so unpredictable. The problem is that areas like taking care of the ball, being precise with the ball, not having sloppy turnovers. I thought some of them last night were really careless, where somebody is just dribbles the ball into the stands, basically, or throws a pass that has very little chance of getting there. Those are the things that, to me, that they need to focus on going forward, is just to improve in some another area last night. It's a close game. You've somehow stayed in the game and given yourself a chance. And then in the last couple, 2-3 minutes, Utah scores a couple times in basically back-breaking situations where they're playing 5-on-4. So because guys aren't matched up, guys aren't getting back on defense. Those are areas that you can control. And so those are the things that, to me, that were the most bothersome about what happened last night, was just that as poorly as you played overall, you still had a chance to win. But then at the end, you basically gave Utah, I don't want to say an easy opportunity, but an optimum opportunity to just close out the game and get the win.
Let's talk about a positive from last night, because I did find one, and that is Jordan Crawford coming basically off the plane and into Vivint Smart Home Arena. 19 points, 8 of 15 shooting from the field. It was nice to see Jordan, who making his Pelicans debut, play so well, second leading scorer for the Pelicans.
Yeah, he was really good. I mean, it scares you to think of how they would have done offensively if he didn't play, if they didn't sign him yesterday in that game. But, I mean, I remember him from his previous stint in the NBA. One of my real good friends is a Wizards fan, and he was telling me, hey, you better be ready for him to be aggressive offensively, which I kind of knew already from watching him play. But it was funny that he, on the very first possession that he checked into the game, he made a jump shot. And that was kind of the way he played the whole game. He had no hesitation whatsoever. And on a night when, on a night when they shot so poorly and had so little going offensively, I mean, he was really valuable, and was one of the reasons that they actually did have a chance to win the game towards the end.
All right, Jim, so 18 games ago, Pelicans are 4.5 games back, and I feel like, you know, we want to keep watching the scoreboard and keep checking on teams that are ahead of the Pelicans, but I feel like now it's more focusing on what the Pelicans have to do themselves to try to start taking care of business and actually get some wins. Do you feel like right now It's more about what we have to do and not worry so much about what the other teams are doing, because the Pelicans still have yet to put together a stretch of 2 wins in a row? It seems like forever. So what are some of the things? Yeah. I know you mentioned them a little bit, but what else can the Pelicans do to – what do they need to prove on the most, especially when you play a good team like Toronto tomorrow night?
Well, I mean, I think you said it exactly. And as far as just the focus needs to be on you. They're 2-5 since the All-Break. So no matter how you look at the standings and say, like, okay, well, this team needs to lose and these guys go into a slump, et cetera, it's pointless unless you can start playing better and start getting more wins. So I think just there's besides the turnovers, I think the rebounding has been getting better. I mean, that's definitely something that's going to be a key against Toronto, that has a couple of big guys in Ibaka and Valanciunas. But it's going to take a lot more of an overall just precise performance. And to me, I know I keep talking about turnovers, but to me, if that's one thing that just right there, if you take, you cannot have the combination of a ton of turnovers, which reduces your possessions by a lot, and then with the possessions that you do have, you're shooting a poor percentage. So to me, that combination of those two things has to get better, or you're going to end up with, you know, offensive performances less like last night, where you end up with 83 points.
Let me ask you this, and I'm not going to try to pretend like I'm a coach here, and it was just something that I kind of observed last night, but I felt like a lot of times, especially this happened in the first quarter, that Pelicans had more three-point attempts than jumpers. And when you have two big guys like Cousins and Davis, you would think, all right, you go attack down low, either with both of them down low or one of them down low and one up high. But there were times last night that you saw both of them on the outside. Was that just still players trying to get acclimated to having Boogie on the floor, especially with AD on the court at the same time? Or what am I missing here? Or is it just something that will take time as far as getting adjusted to those kind of things?
I think part of it is it'll take time to get adjusted. But, I mean, you're also – the thing about it is, too, is, like, if players or teams have played a certain way for 60-something games, I don't know how you can expect in game 64 that all of a sudden they're going to change that. And part of what I mean when I say that is, Davis and Cousins have both taken a good amount of three-pointers this season, especially Cousins. I don't think you're ever going to see both of them posting up because of the spacing issue. So a lot of times you're going to have one guy outside and one guy in the paint. But so overall, I guess part of what I'm saying is, like, even the guys that you're talking about as far as, like, you want to see them post up more are guys that shoot three-pointers. So you add the threes that they take with the threes that the rest of the team takes, and I don't really expect that number is going to go way down. I don't even in today's NBA, I'm not sure if you can even do that. If you can even get to the point where you're cutting your 3-point attempts down to say like 10 or 15 a game, the way it was for a lot of teams even 3-4 years ago. So I don't think AD doesn't post up a ton.
Yeah.
That's not a huge part of his game as far as back to the basket. He's more effective as far as like catching the ball on the elbow maybe and using his quickness or catching it on the baseline and even either being able to make a jumper or just drive by the guy because he's so much quicker than him. So, and then Cousins, of course, as I alluded to, has taken his game further outside. So I don't know, even though you have two, you know, great all-star players, I don't know if we're really ever going to see a diet of like what Memphis does where it's just pounded inside. And even the Grizzlies are shooting threes at a much higher rate now. So I just think the game's changing. So I don't know if it's ever going to go back to where you just dump it inside and play back to the basket the way that it used to be.
All right, good stuff there, Jim. That's Jim Eichenhofer from Pelicans.com. Pelicans back in action tomorrow night against the Toronto Raptors. Jim, I appreciate the time as always, and I'll talk to you after the game tomorrow on Pelicans OT. Hopefully we're discussing a win.
Sounds good. I'm happy my voice was able to hold up for these last few minutes. I made it through it.
I saw your list as probable for today's interview, so I knew I had faith that you were going to be okay. Way to push through.
Thanks, man. You know, I did my best. I laid it all out on the line for this.
All right, we'll get some rest, Jim, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks again, man.
All right, thanks.
All right, when we come back, we'll turn our attention to the NFL Combine. We'll wrap up this weekend's events with Joel Erickson from The Advocate. Stay with us.
Ochsner believes the best way to predict the future is to invent it. Here, our doctors and staff are changing lives day after day.
Every week, I'm operating on babies who are days old with hearts smaller than walnuts. We're giving these kids a life they wouldn't otherwise have, a chance to grow up.
Sometimes cancer patients come who were told they were out of options, but Ochsner has the most clinical trials in the state. It's amazing to be able to give second chances.
We're always a step ahead, even with simple things, like getting you in to see a doctor today versus a week from now, so what you have doesn't become something bigger. It makes a difference.
Every day, Ochsner is creating a better future by looking forward and thinking differently to find life-changing solutions. That's healthcare with peace of mind. Appointments are available today. Call 866-OCHSNER or visit ochsner.org.
The future is bright for your New Orleans Pelicans with the addition of all-star DeMarcus Cousins along with Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday. The time is now to become a Pelican season ticket holder. Those locking in their seats by Friday, March 31st will take advantage of the price freeze and also receive a food and beverage gift card worth up to $600. Call 504-525-HOOP or visit pelicans.com today and win the night.
We all know Saints fans are humble, hardworking, likable, and the most devoted fans in the league. All of that takes energy. The energy you get from a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Saints fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken and Sausage Gumbo. Just visit your local supermarket and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game, and the official soup of the New Orleans Saints.
Hi, it's Mark Romig. When I'm not announcing, Touchdown Saints! I'm listening to the Black and Blue Report.
Time now to put a bow on the NFL Combine. Joining me now is Joel Erickson, who covers the Saints for The Advocate. Joel, I appreciate you coming on this morning.
Yeah, no problem. Good to hear from you.
Joel, let's start off with a broad question. Give me one or two guys, no matter the position, that really impressed you over the weekend.
Well, it was hard not to be impressed by John Ross. 4.22, and you could clearly see that he pulled up a little bit against that 40. And on top of that, he had some good explosion numbers, the jumping and stuff like that. So that's one. And then a little bit further off the radar, Kansas State's Jordan Willis. Defensive end, pass rusher. Guy who was really productive in college, but I don't think was expected to test like Myles Garrett or somebody like that. And then he goes out and runs a 4.53 40 and kind of shows that athletically he belongs in that group too.
On the flip side, give me someone that you were looking forward to seeing but didn't really impress you in Indianapolis this weekend.
Probably the cornerback from Florida, Tease Taylor. He's supposed to be up there among the top guys, and it's such a deep class. And, you know, to run a 40 in the 4.6s, that's at a lot of positions, you wonder how much the 40 matters, but obviously speed and long speed matters at corner.
I think one of the big storylines from the Combine was Reuben Foster, who was dismissed before interviews and testing on Saturday after getting in a verbal altercation with a hospital worker. How much does this hurt Foster's draft stock, in your opinion?
My first thought is, and I know we saw the description of events that came out, but it had to be a heck of a disagreement with the hospital worker to be sent home, is my assumption. And the thing is, I don't necessarily know that it's this incident that would hurt him, but it makes you wonder if it makes teams dig a little bit more into some of the other stuff and see what they've got there. So I don't think it's something that is necessarily a killer for him, but it's definitely going to force teams to look a little harder into his background.
We talked last week previewing the NFL Combine, talking about some LSU guys that were making its way to Indianapolis. Joel, was there anyone that stuck out as far as the LSU guys? How did they fare this weekend?
I thought Leonard Fournette's 4.51 at 240 pounds is impressive no matter which way you look at it. He had a short vertical, but that's really not something that's going to hurt him much. I think he's obviously the one that everyone looks at. The other guy I was kind of paying attention to was Tre'Davious White, the corner. Again, there's so many corners in this draft. You heard general managers saying that you might be able to get a starting caliber corner in the fourth round that normally would get drafted in the second round. And White turned in a very solid 40 in the mid-4.4s. That's got to help him, confirm his speed. The thing about the combine is obviously most teams are going off the tape, but in a situation where there's a lot of guys all in the same spot, you want to have that confirmation of athleticism. I think he did that.
It's no secret that the Saints are looking for defensive players in the draft. You mentioned guys that impressed you over the weekend, but give me some guys that the Saints could potentially draft based on maybe how they did in this combine.
We've seen that Sean Payton said the Saints have to get a pass rusher. There's a lot of them in this draft. Willis all of a sudden looks like he might be a second round or borderline first. But, there's other guys too. UCLA's Takaris McKinley. Pretty sure I'm saying that right. Mm-hmm. The thing with him is he's very gifted, very raw, which means that there's some room for him to improve. And even though he's raw, he was highly productive last year. But the thing with him is, he's got to have surgery on his shoulder. So you wonder about how early he's going to be able to get to playing in camp and whether or not he can help. There's another guy that interests me. I think most Saints fans probably know about the big name pass rushers, but there's a guy when I was covering Auburn, Carl Lawson, who I always really liked the way he studied the game. He sort of approached it like a quarterback, in that he very rarely forgot anything that ever happened. And he had a very good combine. Ran a low 4.640, did an incredible 35 wrench on reps on the bench press. He's had some health issues, but if the medical checks out, I would look into him.
Of course, scouting-wise, now it's time for the pro days to come within the next month as some schools actually start today and go all the way through beginning of April. So how much weight should we put on these pro days when evaluating these players?
I think the pro days probably get more of a headline than probably teams need for it to come out. I think the best thing for the pro days is that when teams go there, that they get a chance to sit down with some of these guys again that maybe they didn't get to interview at the combine or they decided not to interview at the combine knowing they were going to be at the pro day. And then the other thing, obviously, that we watch as we get closer to the draft is the private visits. And sometimes those are good indicators of who teams are going to pick, and sometimes it's good indicators of who might matter down the line. You know, the Saints signed a guy off the Steelers practice squad late in the season, Travis Feeney, who was a visit last year and obviously didn't end up on the Saints right away, but they went back to him.
One last question before I let you go, Joel. Free agency, the legal tampering, I should say, is beginning as we talk right now, and will it be for the next 2 days. Do you expect a lot of action here in these next 2 days as far as free agency is concerned?
Maybe not in the next 2 days. You'll hear lots of rumors, but the thing is that on Thursday when that deadline hits, we're going to see a bunch of signings announced almost immediately. And then you find out all the work that was going on finalizing deals over these next 2 days. So it should be interesting. It seems like the free agent pool gets a little bit less and less star-studded every year as teams re-sign their own, but it's always interesting to see where guys go.
All right, should be an interesting couple of days, that's for sure. That's Joel Erickson, Saints beat writer for The Advocate. You can follow him on Twitter at Joel A. Erickson. Joel, I appreciate the insight, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
All right, I'll wrap up the podcast after this quick timeout.
The future is bright for your New Orleans Pelicans with the addition of all-star DeMarcus Cousins, along with Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday. The time is now to become a Pelican season ticket holder. Those locking in their seats by Friday, March 31st, will take advantage of the price freeze and also receive a food and beverage gift card worth up to $600. Call 504-525-HOOP or visit Pelicans.com today and win the night.
We all know Saints fans are humble, hardworking, likable, and the most devoted fans in the league. All of that takes energy. The energy you get from a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Saints fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken and Sausage Gumbo. Just visit your local Winn-Dixie and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup. The hearty way to fuel your game. And the official soup of the New Orleans Saints.
Want each show delivered right to your iPhone or iPad? Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by searching Black and Blue Report.
All right, that'll do it for today's show. Big thanks to Jim Eichenhofer from Pelicans.com and Joel Erickson from The Advocate. On tomorrow's show, we'll preview Pelicans and Raptors with David Wesley, television analyst for Fox Sports New Orleans. It is a Wesley Wednesday, and he'll be joined by Sean Kelly, of course. And we'll start to preview NFL free agency as free agency begins later on this week. Look out for who the Saints might target and who might be targeted around the NFL. Hope you have a great rest of your Tuesday. And until tomorrow, I'm Daniel Salerson. Thanks for listening to the podcast for Saints and Pelicans fans, the Black and Blue Report.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Black and Blue Report, presented by ABC Insurance Agencies. A better choice for insurance. If all goes well, we'll be back tomorrow. Tune in each weekday at noon Central or at your convenience exclusively online at Pelicans.com and NewOrleansSaints.com. Follow your teams direct from the source, the Black and Blue Report.